Welcome to the Everyday Christian Podcast,
where we apply scriptural principles to everyday Christian lives. I'm John Rich.
And I'm Gabe Bontrager. Today we're going to be talking about Christian cancel culture, part two. You're not going to want to miss this. In the previous episode, we talked about the cancel culture that prevails in our culture today, and we discussed how some believers participate in sinner cancel culture. And if you haven't listened to that, we encourage you to go back and to listen to that. It's really good. It talks about how if a sinner walks into our doors, that we don't cut them off just because they don't look the part. Of course they don't. Yeah. They're a sinner.
Yeah.
They got to change. Right. And we're going to help them get there. And we're going to accept them for who they are, knowing that God's going to do the work in their life.
Yeah.
And so thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Today we're going to talk about Christian cancel culture. And so to explain kind of what cancel culture is, I don't know if some of you probably listened to President Trump's speech at Mount Rushmore. He actually talked a little bit about cancel culture. It's essentially to dismiss something or somebody, to reject an individual or an idea. Essentially, this practice encourages a community to blackball, to isolate, to shun an individual from society. An example of this outside of the church world would be an individual being fired for simply believing against a gay marriage, or having a stance against abortion, or having a stance against things that maybe the left may deem as good or something like that. So that's a good example outside of the church world of what cancel culture is. But what we have seen in the church world is Christian cancel culture, yeah, where a believer is canceled, shunned, dismissed simply for having an opposing viewpoint, or asking a question about a view that the majority holds. So before we go too far into the episode, we just wanted to ask a few questions to see if maybe you can relate. And I'll start with the first one. Have you as a Christian ever felt like you were looked down upon by another Christian because you didn't have the exact same beliefs as said Christian?
Have you, as a Christian, ever been confronted or ridiculed by someone for something that you wore, even though it was no real biblical backing to that?
Yeah, or to why you're ridiculed. Have you, as a Christian, ever felt pressured into personal convictions because that's what everybody else did? You know, an example of this would be, well, I gave up my Facebook because it was taking up my time away from God. And so a majority of people gave up their Facebook, and then they pressured you into doing the same.
Have you, as a Christian, ever felt that you were shamed because of the view or dislike that someone had of your pastor?
That's good. Have you, yeah, as a Christian, ever felt like you were shunned because you asked questions or asked the question why when trying to figure out some way Christians believe the way that they did, or they were preaching it but not doing a very good job of teaching it?
Mm. You know, if you could answer yes to any of these questions, and I'm sure there's plenty more, yeah, scenarios that we could provide, you might be victim of Christian cancel culture. You know, Christian cancel culture says that just because your pastor isn't so-so that you can't be used, you know, he's not that big of a name, or you know, he doesn't believe like other people, but you know, you should be based off of your own personal, your own personal walk.
Yeah, you know, Christian cancel culture says that if you don't have those same personal beliefs as everyone else in the group, or everyone else in a church, or everyone else, you know, in a clique, whatever it may be, you must not be spiritual, or you must not speak to God as much as you should. It says that at any point you believed a certain way about doctrines or convictions, no matter how much your mind changes, even after extensive studying, even after maybe getting it for yourself, you will always believe, or you're always seen as that way. And it's kind of a sad thing. And if you are a participator in Christian cancel culture, we're going to speak to you, but also if you're the victim of Christian cancel culture, we're going to speak in this episode to you as, yeah, well. But what a sad state that we live in as a church, to where we feel that it's deemed necessary to cancel an individual out, even for something that they may have believed in the past, Brother Gabe. I mean, they could change. You know, the Word of God can grow in them. The Word of God never changes, but it always changes people, Brother Gabe. And I think that we need to realize that, you know, in our church world, sure.
Cancel culture today in America, you know, they cancel because of things that happen in the present, but mostly the cancel culture comes from things that happened in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank God for saving grace that God gives each and every Christian. And things that happened in the past, that's exactly where they should stay. Yeah. You know, there's reason that God, you know, would have us to view each other as he views us.
Yeah.
And that is free from sin when that happens. And look, I see a lot of people that they end up, you know, canceling out another person because of they can't get past their own unforgiveness. They can't get past their own bitterness. And we're going to get into that. Go ahead.
Yeah, John. No, I think that's really good. A good point to discuss the bitterness. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But an example of someone who would be, quote, a perpetrator or a participator of Christian cancel culture would be John in Luke 9. I think we mentioned it in the last episode.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in Luke 9, John says that he sees a man, you know, doing this work. He's casting out devils in your name, Jesus. And he said, but I forbade him because he followed not with us. You see, Jesus' answer was, forbid him not, for he who is not against us is for us. It would have been different if they were against Jesus. You know, it would have been different if they were trying to shun Jesus and trying to cancel Jesus out, but they weren't. They were trying to do a work for them. A lot of times we get that mentality as believers. We say, well, because they're not following in our group, they're not with us. Or, well, because they're not doing every single customer tradition that we do, they're not a part of us. And, you know, as we mentioned in the story in the last episode, there were several points that can be brought to light. Again, in this episode, John claimed authority to forbid someone to do the work of God. I mean, where did he get that authority? Yeah. John determined that because they were that individual was not a part of their company or a part of their group, then they weren't followers of Jesus. And Jesus' answer was that because that individual was not against them, then they were for them. But we determine that because someone is not always for us or following us individually, they must also not be following Christ, Brother Gabe.
You know, Brother John, I tell you, you know, they were casting out devils.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were just, you know, trying to do like this, you know, a shady thing on the side. They were casting out devils. And Jesus was like, hey, look, who is not for us or not against us is for us. And I think that's incredible just to point out that, you know, we should really say, you know what, we're going to try to stick together as a Christian. And, and you know, I see Christian cannibalism happen a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if someone's not the way that we would rather them be, then we go after them. I see a lot of, you know, backbiting, gossiping, tearing each other down, you know, whether it's in a thread on a post or it's face to face. It's a sad thing. But you know, we're here to say, you know, what does the Bible say?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about just a couple things here. What does the Bible say about the Christian cancel culture? Right. There's people that argue for it.
Yeah,
they do. And so we're going to present that, those arguments, and we're going to talk about them here.
Sure.
You know, people say, hey, Jesus said to go ahead and knock the dust off of your feet. And where that's found is Matthew 10, verses 12 through 15. It says this, and when you come into a house, salute it. Listen to this. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And this is if they're worthy or not. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Couple things I want to focus on here is that sign of knocking the dust off of your feet, shaking the dust off of your feet.
It means knock other Christians out.
No, it doesn't. So it was a sign or a testament against that house that they had done all that they could do to try to win them for the gospel, for Christ. And so that it was a sign, it was a testament against that house. It wasn't saying we're cutting you off, but it was a sign showing I've done all that I can do personally.
Yeah,
I've done all that I possibly can do to reach you for Christ. And notice this, there in verse 14, the house pushed them away. They didn't walk away that with that out of the house. excuse me, they didn't walk out of that house without them not hearing the words and not receiving you. It was the house's decision, not the disciples' decision, that made them even walk away. And so the house pushed them away, not the other way around. And, you know, Jesus still leaves that door open.
Yeah.
If they would ever want to accept them back into that house.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I believe it was Luke 9 that this account is also shown in the Gospels. And later on in Luke 9, James and John, you remember them when the Samaritans didn't accept the gospel. Yeah. You know, this is not necessarily believe it or believer Christian cancel culture, but what did James and John do? They said, "Lord, shall we pray that fire rains from heaven onto these Samaritans?"
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "You don't even know what manner you speak of."
Wow.
Like you're like, I don't know. I can just imagine just Jesus saying, "You're insane." Like yeah. No. Like they like I didn't. He said, "I didn't come here to destroy. I came here so that they would be saved."
Amen. Yeah. And I tell you, the last part of that verse, you know, he says it'd be better for them in judgment, you know, better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment.
Right.
You know what God's saying there? That there will come a time after they reject for judgment to happen.
Right.
Judgment isn't supposed to happen by the disciple,
exactly.
By the Christian. That's what he was saying there. And so I'm really thankful that God has, you know, laid that out. But people do use that, say, I shook the, you know, I shook the dust off feet. I'm done with them. That's not how we should be.
Right.
But people also say, well, what about Paul? Paul is, you know, says not to have any part with, you know, a church that spreads false tradition, you know, cut them off.
Yeah.
Well, let's look into that. Go ahead, John.
No, cut them off. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7, it says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you." Paul says, he says in the word,
he says it,
cut them off. But the point of the scripture is that people who are intentionally trying to subvert the gospel should be avoided.
Yeah.
People who are intentionally trying to change the God. I mean, if that man that was casting out the devil had walked up to Jesus and said, "You're not doing the work of the Lord. I'm a follower of Moses. You're changing all of our customs. You need to get out of here." That would have been different.
Yeah.
But instead, he was doing a work of the Lord. We it's okay to avoid those people who are trying to bring demise to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't give us a license. This verse doesn't give us a license to avoid someone just because we don't believe or see eye to eye to
exactly.
them. It was specifically talking about people who come into the church like a wolf in sheep's clothing to subvert the church, to dissuade them to another belief or doctrine that is clearly against the word of God in a way that goes against the gospel.
Right.
The gospel.
That's good.
Not these things that are you know, the sidelining things, you know, that people get all caught up, you know, in whether it's, you know, wearing red or whatever it could be. Those are personal preference points, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But when someone comes in to try to take away the gospel message and tries to teach a different fundamental doctrine, we need to avoid them.
Absolutely.
But for someone that's coming in and seeking honest questions or really believes in an honest way, we don't need to cut them off. We need to help them and guide them in the right direction.
Yeah, especially those that are coming in with a kind heart. And we'll move on from that point. But I think that a lot, oftentimes we say, you know, well, they're asking questions. They must be against us.
Yeah.
Well, they're wondering why they must be against us. Why don't they just study the Bible? You know, and we just say, well, go study the Bible. And they're like, well, where do I study? Like, where do I start? You know, where is it in the Bible? And how do I go about studying it? I think that we have to get past that. We have to get past that. You know, so those are some arguments for, but there's arguments against Christian cancel culture. Again, Jesus telling John, you know, those who aren't willingly against us is for us. A good point here you made, Brother Gabe, is John Mark. I mean, he was not profitable at first for the ministry, but Paul realized that John Mark later on was usable and he should not have canceled him. Paul learned his lesson, Brother Gabe.
Man, you know, he says he is profitable. And, you know, they split their ways, you know, for a while. But, you know, you think about also Peter.
Yeah.
He denied the Lord. He denied Christ. When Christ needed him most, if you can put it that way, in his humanity.
Yeah.
And then you see Peter, he left Christ, denied him, he failed, he walked away. He was part of Jesus' own 12. Mm. I mean, wow, how close to the Lord. But he denied them and he failed him. But this is what Jesus says. He finds him again.
Yeah.
And he says, on you,
yeah,
I will build my church. Jesus didn't cancel him for failing, but he built him. He grew him. And on Peter, because of Peter, he used Peter to build the church, that early church. I'm telling you what an incredible thing. Yeah. And guess what? This is the end of the story. Peter stands up after the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
3,000 souls are saved because he preached and proclaimed the gospel because someone didn't cancel him out. Christ didn't cancel him out. And guess what? As Christ being our example, we shouldn't do that either.
And I think that's a great point. And we're going to go, discuss about like Paul. Paul himself had killed members of the church, imprisoned them, beat them, stoned them.
Mm.
I mean, would you not want to cancel someone out that did that? I would want to cancel those people out. I would want to cancel them out. But what the point is that we're making here with Peter, with Paul, and I think it's a really valid point, is we shouldn't cancel Christians out who have a horrible past.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're saved, if they're blood bought, if their sins are washed away, if they're repentant, you know, they've turned away from those things. They have proven themselves time and time again that they are followers of Christ. Why do we still shun them for their past?
Right.
Why do we still cancel those people? Why do we still look at those people with the eyes of their past sins? We have to move on from that. We have to overcome that. And that's a huge part of Christian cancel culture. We cancel other unbelievers simply because of what they used to do, simply because of how they used to be, what they used to wear, what they used to say, and we don't give them that chance, Brother
Man,
Gabe.
Think about this. Over half of the New Testament is written by a murderer.
Yeah.
Paul,
right.
He killed, he imprisoned.
Right. Yeah.
And he wrote the Gospels that we love today. And Paul is one of the greatest examples of an apostle. I mean, wow, what an incredible man. Went and started so many churches, did so much for God.
Yeah.
But before, he was a murderer.
Yeah.
But thank God, through the grace of God, there he was, making and proclaiming Christ to the world.
One of the best missionaries the world's ever seen, Paul the Apostle. And it could be easy to cancel him out and say, well, I'm not going to read those.
Yeah.
But you know, we treat other people like that.
Yeah.
Is God's saving grace not still as powerful today as it was when Paul was saved?
I'm going to make it real to you. Look, there's a person, you know, in your church, they committed adultery. People don't ever forgive them.
Mm.
They don't ever forgive him.
Right.
Okay, that person, I remember when that person was out doing drugs.
Yeah.
That person was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. The Bible says, such were some of you.
Yeah.
But praise God through his grace. Yeah. And so, you know, when we put on those glasses and we realize, look, we have all fallen, and we all need to extend that same grace, that same mercy, that same forgiveness to our brother and sister and not cut them off for the things that they have done.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, our churches would thrive.
Yeah, absolutely, they would thrive, and it's a sad thing. So we want to talk about if you're a victim of cancel culture.
Yeah,
what do you do in the church? And what do you do? There's some things we want to go over that you must realize if you're a victim of this. You won't please everyone is the first thing. There's nothing wrong with wanting to try to make people happy.
Yeah.
It's a part of our nature. It's a part of our Christianity. We want to make people happy. We want to make people like us, you know. But when we try to make everyone happy, we will fail miserably, unfortunately. There will always be that one who's unpleased. Now, I've assistant pastor to church before, and I can tell you that it was, I mean, we had 15 or 20 people, and I still could not please them all. I still could not make them all happy. Paul wrote in Galatians 1 and 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Our main goal as Christians should be to please God in all that we say and do, no matter the pressures we may feel from others. Brother Gabe,
been in ministry for a long time, yeah. Brother John. You know, most of my life. I remember when I was young, even, you know, young as, you know, 8, 6, you know, I was there in a little town called Shanks, West Virginia, running children's church.
You're a hillbilly.
I was a hillbilly, no shoes on, standing on a chair. No, but I was on Sunday mornings. I remember just even that young standing and leading songs.
Yeah.
From very young age until now, I have been hurt. I have seen, you know, people not like what I've said. And, you know, here we're talking about, you know, just making sure that, you know, you please God.
Yeah.
And you just get up and you do what the Lord, you feel the Lord wants you to do.
Right.
One step at a time. And look, there's going to be people that's going to say, "I don't agree with what you're saying. I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't think that it's going to be ran this way. It should be ran this way. We're going to cut you out." And if you're, you know, a film, like you're a victim of Christian cancel culture, obey God.
Yeah.
Let everything else shake out. That person's spirit will come to be found out sooner or later.
Right.
You know, it may be 10 years, it may be 20 years, it may be in eternity that everyone finds out. But they will find out that spirit. And you just keep doing what God wants you to do.
Right.
And He will bless you for it.
Right. You know, on the flip side of that, so I believe that it's okay to be respectful when visiting other churches or adhering to customs. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm going to stand strong in my convictions no matter where I'm at. And I'm like, you know, there's some things that, you know, you can be respectful about. An example would be if you go to a church and they don't believe in wearing ties. You know, do you really have that strong of convictions to wear a tie that you can't take it off and button the top button or unbutton or whatever it is? You know, if you visit a church, like, it's okay not to wear a necktie. It's okay to do that. Paul said that he wouldn't even eat meat if it caused the downfall of another person. The point is not an excuse for you to go out of your way just to offend believers.
Right.
You know, but you can be respectful while also staying true to what you believe God has given you. So you need to realize that you can't please everyone. The second thing you need to realize if you're the victim of Christian cancel culture is this is an opportunity for growth in your own life. As hard as it may sound and as hard as it may be to believe, it can be used as a time to reflect on what you believe and stand on God's word. It's not to mean that you should be influenced to change your opinion, but it can cause you to have a greater desire to study God's word and have a firmer foundation of what you believe. And maybe you're wrong, Brother Gabe. Maybe you're wrong about what you believe, or maybe you're not entirely accurate on something that you believe, but have an open mind that is not willing to be changed by people, but rather it's willing to be changed by the Bible.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to grow and to learn from it. And, you know, I've learned from a lot of other people's mistakes, and that's the best way to learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see someone else that is giving you, you know, grief over, you know, maybe what you believe in or what you're standing on, grow, learn that, learn, you know, trust the Lord more. Learn from their mistakes on how they're acting on, you know, I'm not going to do this, you know, to someone that I don't agree with, or, you know, I'm not going to treat someone this way because this really stinks. You know, this does not make me feel good at all. You can grow, you can learn to grow.
Yeah.
Thirdly,
we can
go to heaven with others. And while you can go to heaven with others hating you, you can't go to heaven while you're hating others.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can overcome bitter and harsh feelings, and you can use this as an opportunity. If you're feeling attacked by the enemy, attacked by your own brothers and sisters, not necessarily your brothers and sisters aren't your enemy.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling, you know, attacked by your brothers and sisters, you know, you just got to understand that God can help you, and He can give you strength. You know, and give you help you with unforgiveness, and you know, and help you through bitterness. I was talking with Brother John. We were talking about it just the other night, and you know, I said, you know, bitterness is the seed of unforgiveness, and when you start feeling bitter because someone has canceled you out, you know, don't let that seed of bitterness stay there. You get it out, because that seed of bitterness is going to grow into a tree of unforgiveness.
Yeah,
no. And then you're gonna have a lot of work to do.
Right. Now, Brother Gabe, I hate snakes with a passion. And if anyone here ever tries to fool me with a snake or throw a rubbery snake at me that looks real, you'll see me jump. But a rattlesnake, they say that if cornered, I've actually seen videos of this, if cornered, they can get so angry that they bite themselves and inject poison into themselves and make themselves bleed. That's how angry they get, and that is exactly what the harboring of hate and resentment against others is. It's biting yourself.
Mm.
We think that we are harming others and holding these spites and holding these hates, but the deeper harm is to ourselves.
Right.
If you have bitterness in your heart towards someone else, now look, I get it. You're the victim, you know, of Christian cancel culture. You know, you've experienced it, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Don't keep that victim mentality and overcome the bitterness, okay?
Yes.
The way you overcome the bitterness, Brother Gabe said it, you forgive.
You've got to forgive.
You've got to forgive. And one thing that I do when I'm bitter towards somebody, this is just me, Brother Gabe, but this is something that I do, is when I have resentment in my heart towards someone, when I feel bitter towards someone or something that someone has done, I, in my daily devotion to God, pray for that person.
Amen.
And I don't pray that they'll change their mind. I don't pray that they'll change the way and come up and apologize to me. I simply pray that God will help them, that God will bless them that day, that God will use them that day, that God will speak to them that day.
Yeah.
And there's something that is inside that. I mean, Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 5, that those that pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, I believe he said it for a reason, because we can overcome those bitter feelings by doing that. And I tell you, in my own experience, my own life, I have overcome so many bitternesses just simply for praying for individuals that have hurt me, Brother Gabe.
And I've used that exact same, you know, method, if I could put it that way, is I pray for them.
Yeah.
And I say, God, you've got to help my heart. And you know, a way for us to become better, to reconcile our relationship, is there for change to happen. And God, I pray that change would happen.
Yeah.
Whatever that way that is. And you know, when you start to pray them and you start to bless them, as the Bible says, man, that changes your heart.
Yeah.
But it also allows opportunity for God to work in them, because you're praying for them as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So also, we need to trust the Lord that He will continue to use you.
Yeah.
But regardless of what others would think.
Yeah.
And He will. He will. Just have that resolve. Like right. Brother John was just saying, you know, get rid of that victimhood and become a victor.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
You can be bitter or better.
Yeah.
The only difference is the letter I. I love Brother Gallagher always said that. But if you're a victim, quote, of Christian cancel culture, we hope that helped you. But now we want to get into, if you're a participator, perpetrator of Christian cancel culture, Brother Gabe, what are some things you got to realize?
First, you got to realize that everyone does not agree with you.
yes.
And, you know, we got to realize that not everyone disagrees with us and our fellowship. And realize that they're not a demon because of it. You know, and they're not trying to change God's word. You know, they're not trying to cause division.
Right.
They may be coming from a honest place of wanting to know more about God's word. And so it makes me think of the man there in Aquila and Priscilla helped. And they said that they showed him that way, a more perfect way. So he had it. He wasn't quite there, and they accepted him in. And because of that, they were able to help him grow.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it's likely that not even the 12 disciples agreed on everything. You know, Jesus broke bread and poured wine to give them solidarity. And that while they did not agree on every custom or personal conviction, they were unified in the fact that Jesus came, shed his blood, and is savior to all of mankind.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's what we got to do as a church. You know, if you say, you know, I don't agree with this person, and their you know, conviction on this, or you know, what they're believing on that, realize that we've got a common goal here.
Yeah.
And that is that Jesus came,
yeah.
He lived,
absolutely.
He died, He rose again, He's coming again soon.
Yeah.
You know, if you can agree on that, there's a lot of common ground that you've just covered right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of common ground. And the fact that, you know, with that common ground, there's other things that come from that. I mean, witnessing comes from that. I think we can all agree we should be witnessing. I think we can all agree we should be feeding the poor. I think we can all agree we should be doing a work for God. But instead, we like to ridicule one another. We like to cancel each other out. We need to stop taking it so hard when someone disagrees with us or someone disagrees with our pastor or someone disagrees with mom or dad or someone disagrees with that favorite evangelist of yours. And we need to have a healthy, non-heated debate or conversation. And maybe sometimes it will get a little heated. But listen, forgive each other. Don't let it get out of hand. But have a non-heated debate or conversation about whatever that disagreement is. We're human.
Yeah.
And everything we are going to face, we're going to have different views about. Everything we read in the Word of God, listen, there's black and white in the Word of God. I believe that with everything in me.
Absolutely.
But there are some things we are going to interpret differently.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Pharisees, Brother Gabe, this is going to shock everyone that's listening to this, but even the Pharisees did some good things.
Yeah.
I mean, they had custom, they had times of worship, they had things that they set up, and it's hard to believe, and their customs weren't necessarily made with evil intentions, but Jesus came in and showed them to follow the truth and not just their interpretation of the law. Jesus came in and, like you said, showed them really a more perfect way.
Yeah.
And there were customs that there are customs that we do that aren't evil. There are customs and beliefs that practices maybe that we have that are not evil, but maybe not all churches or people sing the songs the same way that we do. Maybe not all churches or people have altar service or have service at the same time. Maybe they don't always have altar calls, you know, like other church services do. I think that we get so caught up in our time stamp, we get so caught up in our customs, we get so caught up in the way we do things that if anything goes off, I mean, if any little thing goes off, if we're a minute past the time church is supposed to start, we flip out.
Yeah.
You know, we can't handle that. And I think that we need to overcome that. I know that was kind of a rabbit trail to get to my point, but my point is that we're not going to agree on everything. We're not going to have the same customs, but it's okay to talk about those things, Brother Gabe.
We should. I think about this. You know, there's that common verse out there that a lot of people probably know is that, you know, simply says iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
For that to happen, the iron has to strike itself. They have to strike together. And because of that, they become sharper. And when you come together, when you come together, man, how incredible is that?
Yeah.
That you become sharper, both become sharper because of it. And man, that's an incredible thing. But let's go ahead and continue on here. And, you know, we want to bring out that when someone asks why you believe a certain way or gives you an opinion as to why they believe differently, we can have a civil conversation without hate.
Yeah.
You know, and that includes, you know, hateful words, comments, hateful tones, even sarcasm.
Yeah.
I've seen sarcasm be used in a terrible, terrible way.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never convince someone otherwise when you're speaking to them in a condescending or hateful manner. I remember so many times people trying to explain something that, you know, they believe so strongly, but they came off in a terrible attitude about whatever we were talking about. And I said, I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah. I refuse to listen to those people too. I mean, the ones that take cheap shots at you, you know, or the ones that belittle you just because you're asked a question, but just because you're wondering, you know, what they're trying to talk about. We can have a conversation without confrontation. We can have a conversation without condescending manners. The reason we are losing so many young people, I mean this, listen to me, Pastor.
Yeah.
The reason why we are losing so many young people is because lack of knowledge or understanding about subjects that are deemed as doctrine. I've say it a million times.
Yeah.
We need to do a better job of teaching instead of preaching. We need to do a better job of not just teaching people what the Bible says, but teaching them how to study it for themselves. We have gone astray with that. We have gotten so, you know, we have gotten so black and white ourselves that everything that we do is, you know, it's well, this is exactly what the Bible says. Okay, prove it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Prove it. Like, Right. Okay, if this is exactly what the Bible says, how do I know that? You know, and I think a lot of young people,
yeah,
maybe even older people, but a lot of young people, 30 and younger, are I wouldn't say falling out, but rather they're searching for truth.
Yes.
And the problem is that we're not giving them that truth. We're not giving them, whether it be true biblical foundational doctrines,
yeah,
or whether it be personal convictions, we're not giving them the full truth. And I think that's why a lot of them are leaving. A lot of them, yeah, are going a different route. They're wanting a different experience.
John, I had the privilege of being the youth pastor here at Bethel Chapel, and you know, back last October, I was asked by a youth, hey, you know, Halloween's coming up. You know what? Why can't we celebrate Halloween? You know, what's the meaning behind Halloween? Why don't we do anything? Why don't Christians celebrate Halloween? And, you know, I could have said, crazy question, we just don't. It's, yeah, the devil's holiday, and, yeah, call it, and be it. And, you know, and that, yeah, and that's would have been his response to anyone else. Well, it's just the devil's holiday.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I went back and I really dug deep, and I found origins, and I really studied the Bible in a deep, deep way. And I learned something from this too. And I began to share all the different reasons why. And, you know, Christian cancel culture goes just beyond people who you don't disagree with. It's when you feel like you're uncomfortable or not fully knowledgeable that you cut that other person's questioning, mm-hmm, off.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, really when the youth come and they ask an honest question and they really want to know, maybe it's about hair, maybe it's about pants, maybe it's about things of holiness, outward appearance of holiness, instead of just giving what you've been told, really start to study scripture. Get it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then teach them the God-given gospel, the truth of what the God says. Not your interpretation of it,
right. But
what does the Bible say? And give them a clear expectation, a clear, yeah, outline of the Word of God. Give them truth.
Yeah. I think it's good that you say that, because it's okay to say, I don't know. You know, it's okay to say, when you talk about a youth or someone who's a new Christian, it's okay to step back and say, well, I'm going to go find out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll find out for you. So I think that's really good. It's good to go back to the Word of God, study the Word of God, and always point those who are questioning it to the Word of God and where they can study. You can stay strong in your personal convictions without trying to push them onto, yeah, other people. Unfortunately, Christians have adopted the idea that if God hasn't spoken those personal convictions to those other Christians, they must not be spiritual enough, or they must not pray enough or read their Bible enough. Personal convictions are just that. Personal. They're personal to you. The weight that may cause your downfall may not cause someone else's downfall.
Right.
In fact, the weight that may cause your downfall could be the platform for someone else. You know, you may be scrolling through Facebook too much, and you may feel convicted of God to say, you know what? I don't need to be on Facebook that much. I need to pray and read my Bible more. I need to draw closer to God. Facebook is becoming my God. While that may be your weight, that personal conviction that gets you, someone may be using Facebook to promote God. Someone may be using Facebook to do something for God, to pray for people, to give,
yeah,
encouragement to people. You know, we need to understand that, Brother Gabe, that you can have and stay strong in your personal convictions without pushing them on to other people.
Lastly, I just want to end with this, and it's an encouragement to everyone, and it's this: that Christ lifted up publicans. Publicans, yeah, were considered tax collectors. They were, yeah, the lowest of the lows. They were the middleman between the government and the Jews. And so they taxed the Jews. And you know who was a tax collector? It was Matthew.
Yeah.
And Jesus used Matthew.
Mm.
Jesus used Matthew, maybe someone that the Pharisees didn't agree with,
yeah,
the ones that the Sadducees didn't agree with. Hated, didn't like, matter of fact, you know, publicans weren't even allowed, in courts. Their testimony was terrible.
Yeah.
Their testimony was terrible. Now listen to this, please listen to this. Their testimony was not credible in court of law, but God chose Matthew,
yeah,
to write Matthew,
yeah,
to show the world that he was the Savior,
yeah,
the Messiah, to this world to give a testament of Christ walking this earth. And he used Matthew.
Yeah.
So someone that who was looked down upon, someone who didn't fit the role, someone who was seemingly not credible to the other Jews, but God used him. God used Matthew. So think about this. God used a humble publican as an example over the Pharisee.
Yeah.
You know, he in there that humble publican was, he was beating his chest and saying, having mercy on me.
Yeah.
You know, he was a man that had a broken heart, a humble heart. And God showed, you know, just how some self-righteous, you know, Pharisee who was cutting him off, say, you know, at least I'm not like him, Lord. You know, and here he was, he said, God, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
You know, how incredible is that? There you see it, Christian cancel culture back in Jesus' time.
Yeah.
At least I'm not like that old publican over there. But you know, the Pharisee was the one that God said, look at his heart, look who he was. But finally, Zacchaeus.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones, yeah.
It's an incredible example. You know, Zacchaeus.
He's a wee little man. He's a short guy.
Just like me. But Zacchaeus, he was a chief publican.
Yeah.
And this was really interesting. He was the chief publican. So he was the top dog of all the different publicans. He was probably the one hated the most. He was the one who gave all the other publicans their orders.
Yeah.
But Jesus met him, and he made a point to stop on along his road and talk to Zacchaeus. And he said, today I'm going to go to your house.
Mm.
And it changed his life. Because Jesus fellowshipped with one who was unlikely, that man's life was changed.
Wow.
And because of that, he was able to bless all the others. He paid back fourfold all the others that he had did wrong. And if we reach across to the ones that are not likely, to the ones that could be excluded, wow, you may just change their life.
Yeah, you could change everything about them. Each of these characters is presented nobly. They are heroes, Brother Gabe.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point, and I think that's a good conclusion. You know, We're only scratching the surface of this. You know, we're using a newer term, but this is something that's gone on ever since the Bible was written, is cancel culture.
Yeah.
And the final thought here is that we must do everything that we can to bring unity to the body of Christ. We are facing troubling times.
Yeah.
I mean, we are facing some very, very difficult times, and they will likely only get worse. Now is not the time for contention. Now is not the time for shunning someone, canceling them out, hurting them, trying to get everyone else to gather in and disagree with them. But now is the time that we need to lift each other up.
Great.
Now is the time to discuss disagreements. Be prepared to back it up with beliefs in the Word of God. If someone speaks ill against someone to you, you need to let it go in one ear at the other. Gossip stops with you. Pray for one another. Lift one another up in Jesus' name. Understand we don't always agree, and get over the hurt feelings we have towards one another, Brother Gabe. So we hope that this episode helped you try to overcome Christian cancel culture, whether you are the victim of it or whether you are participating of it. If you're participating of it, you're not being Christ-like.
Yeah.
That's harsh, but you're not being Christ-like. Go back to the Word of God and try to find that, Brother Gabe. So if there's anything else, I'd love it if you'd pray, and we'll close this
absolutely
out. Thank you.
Join us today.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that you give us, Lord, the ability, God, to reach out to our brothers and sisters and build each other up instead of cutting each other off, cutting them down. Lord, I pray that you would just help us today. Learn from your word, learn from your example, God, to follow after you, Jesus, and to help build up the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that your will be done in each and every life that's listening here tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.